You're listening to the Red Moon Radio Podcast, episode number 20, with special guests Andy, Connor, and Dylan of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada's Archaics. Red Moon Radio is a weekly podcast dedicated to garage, psychedelic, fuzz, and lo-fi, as well as good old-fashioned rock and roll from around the world. We bring you the best new music and interviews, introducing you to your new favorite band. The show is produced every Monday and is available on Podomatic at redmoonradio.podomatic.com and on Stitcher at stitcher.com/red-moon-radio. You can also subscribe to the show on iTunes by searching for Red Moon Radio. Follow the podcast on Twitter at redmoonradio1, on Facebook at facebook.com/redmoonradio. Get in touch with us by email at redmoonradio2015@gmail.com and watch for us along with the other music junkies on the website 53rdandthird.com. Links to the bands and extras are available in the show notes on our Podomatic and Stitcher pages, as well as on 53rdandthird.com. Come back often and add us to your favorites. Now let's get on with the show. Hey everyone, Erin here. It's been a wild couple of months here at Red Moon Radio headquarters, so it's been quite some time since the last episode with Alex Studer. And a quick side note, it's also been just over 1 year since I started the podcast. Our episode 1, from late September 2015, was with the very talented Robbie Fisher. Though it's been sporadic over the last few months, I've got some exciting things lined up for the second year of the show. So thanks so much for tuning in after the long hiatus, and if it's your first time listening, a hearty thank you for checking out the podcast. As I like to remind you, all previous episodes of the podcast, including the last episode with Alex and the very first episode with Robbie, are available for your listening pleasure on Podomatic, Stitcher, and through iTunes. Also, don't forget to check out Red Moon Radio along with all the other music junkies and podcasters on 53rdandthird.com. New episodes are updated on the website with extra content. Today's show has been a long time in the making, but let me tell you, it's been well worth the wait. Today, I'm talking with Edmonton psych band Archaics about their latest album and so much more. As always, let's get the show started with some music. We're going to begin with the opening track, called No In, No Out, off of Archaics' July release, Soft Focus. It's a strong start to the album and to the show, and it really showcases the strengths of the band's latest effort. Check it out. An unsuspecting army of ants with the dance of the great glory war. Evil, evil is in your head. Evil is marching now, so you gotta get away. Scale the chase by to the depth of madness high.
Young child, you know what to do, what he
As I stated off the top, this episode of the podcast features Edmonton, Canada's psychedelic force, Archaics. Comprised of five childhood friends, our guests Andy, Connor, and Dylan, along with their other bandmates, Peter and Josh, the band has evolved from an earlier, more garage-based rock to a jazzy psych powerhouse reflecting its members' eclectic musical tastes. The band refers to their sound as Jungle Sleaze, which is a provocative name and one that definitely describes elements of the music. Let's see what you think. I had the great pleasure of speaking with the guys via Skype from Edmonton way back in August. Archaics, welcome to Red Moon Radio. Thanks so much for joining me today. To start off, can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your music?
I'm Andy, and I play drums in the Archaics.
I'm Connor, I play guitar and sing.
And I'm Dylan, I play the organ and keyboard things.
We've been kind of having a tough time coming up with like one single genre title, I guess, to put us under.
But
I guess like psych.
Yeah, guitar based psych rock, but like kind of artsy fartsy.
Yeah.
Really move around a lot.
Yeah. A bit of jazz or.
We've been coining it Jungle Sleaze to try to get a hot. Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
It just started showing up in like write ups that we did, and now it's just sticking. So.
Psych music,
at its core.
How long have you guys been playing together?
Well, at the start there was three, way back when we were like 15.
Yeah, me, Connor, and Josh, who plays guitar, when we were in like junior high.
Yeah, and then Peter joined the year after.
So we've been like jamming together for a while, but like...
It's like seven years?
Yeah, but the Archaics, like as you hear it now, like is... We probably
coming up
been playing
year.
Like this for...
Well, 2014 is the last album.
Yeah, so around there. And then Dylan's always just kind of jammed with us here and there, but more recently he's been taking more of like a more prominent role. Yeah, I guess unofficial.
So that's been coming up, November be a year since the five of us have kind of been officially together. But I've been like longtime friends, longtime jam mates. We've been like booking shows together since we were 16.
It's been a while, I guess.
So you guys are like childhood buddies.
Pretty much, yeah. I've known Peter and I, the bassist, we've known each other since, like, grade one. We go way back. I mean, that's kind of how we came together. We were all friends first before we were, like, a band, which I think is a lot cooler. You know, like, I can't really picture myself doing it the other way. You know, meeting some guys and starting a band and then sort of developing a friendship through that.
It's not so bad.
Yeah, definitely possible. It's just a foreign thing to me. I've never tried to do it, you know?
There's a lot of perks to it, too. Traveling's easy. It's fun.
It's pretty tough for us to hate each other, I guess.
It'll come.
Oh, that's so pessimistic.
Bad jokes. He's got good friends. All good friends.
Yeah, if anything will make us hate each other, it's Dylan's bad jokes.
Okay. Where did the name The Archaics come from?
Well, when we first started jamming in, like, junior high and stuff, we went through like so many names, and then we landed on the Vertigos, and we played like a few all ages shows with that before. I think we just kind of realized it was another band that was like way bigger than us with the same name.
It was way bigger. We were like, 1,000 likes on Facebook.
We made it.
Like, we gotta drop the name.
It was a real David and Goliath story. And then because we were still pretty young at this point, but we agonize over names like forever. I think it was like a few weeks.
Our case is just kind of like these callback to the past, you know, influences and stuff. I know in the past couple years I started getting into swing music and like old blues, older psych rock and stuff. Like, it started, our first EP was us trying to sound like the Strokes, and then and then it was like the next one was like the Strokes' influences, and like you kind of start expanding from that. So
yeah, like I guess
we worked towards the roots and like ended up Archaics.
Yeah, like I guess we kind of like grew into the name, I guess. I don't know where it actually came from. I think Connor came to me.
Yeah, it's history. Just seeing it in the dictionary besides certain words like hither or something.
Hither and archaic.
No, it says hither, and then beside it says archaic. An archaic word. And I was like, wow, that's a nice sounding word.
Yeah.
Started thinking about it more. And
so you just released your second album, Soft Focus.
Yeah.
And that's through Sweetie Pie Records, which is an Edmonton label, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about the release and what influences were for the album? And
well, like a ton of work, like just in the release alone, like a ton of work
went
into it. You don't realize, like after recording, like it's mixed and everything, you also need to think of like album artwork.
Yeah, and that's just the beginning.
Yeah, and then like, you know, your whole release plan, like, you know, press and actual like physical copies and all this stuff. So Josh headed a lot of the business stuff. And we're kind of forever indebted for him to, to him to kind of taking on a lot of that stuff. So he put a lot of work into it, but it was like, it was a lot to go through, especially because we were doing some music video stuff around the time of the release. So just putting it out there was a lot of work.
Yeah, and we did like our release show. We filmed it and stuff and like tried to decorate the venue a bit. We used, like, from the cover, we used the same decorations in the place, like the banner that's on the cover and stuff. And, yeah, that was fun. The album itself, like, I don't know, it felt like a good step for this album, I think. Like, just getting more, trying to get more intricate with the parts. Use different sounds, like, using horns and stuff on this album and using Dylan as, like, a key figure, so to speak. Oh god. That's Dylan rubbing off.
I definitely felt more comfortable being like, this is who we are, you know, with this. Like our first album was a ton of fun to write and all that, but you can still, there's a little bit of maybe just some juvenile kind of qualities to it, where we were like a lot younger and hadn't really had like a good direction of what we were doing. So this album is a lot more, I would say, like it's a lot more cognizant of like who we are and
directed.
Yeah, and a little more of like a full album of music. And that's another thing we tried to do with the album cover and like just the stage at our release show and all that, was to have sort of an aesthetic theme throughout everything.
Yeah, make an atmosphere. But
absolutely.
Yeah, so this one's a lot more unified, I'd say. It's a lot more cohesive throughout all of it.
And I would say, too, part of the focus was achieved definitely through working with Rennie Wilson. Like the last time, you guys all recorded it yourself at a cabin, like outside of Edmonton. But
the first one,
This shot focus was done in the studio. Rennie Wilson had flown out from Montreal over the Christmas break to record it all. And we had a producer, and we actually had sessions where he came in and like helped us direct and focus to try to tighten up the songs. Really like writing sessions, I guess, or producing sessions. So that definitely helped play into focusing everything.
Yeah,
to have an outside set of ears that were way more experienced than ours.
It was so much better to have, I guess, like a third party to kind of keep things.
And like a director.
Like, keep a direction, because like if we're kind of, I guess, self-producing, it's easy to kind of get lost on one thing. And
we follow the tangent of ideas. But
yeah.
And someone there that's being like, okay, let's do that again. This is what I think was good.
And yeah.
I made Michael Ralt's album, so I get, you know?
It was a ton of fun to record with Rennie, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We did a lot of overdubbing after and a lot of tracking just to add in a lot of the...
At Josh's
fill place. In the corners, I guess.
Yeah, because we generally like to play... Or we just felt most comfortable recording live. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I guess it just kind of captures our sound. Like, I know I probably wouldn't be able to just sit there to a click track and record a drum part, you know? So I think that probably helps a little bit, too, to just kind of get a bigger sense of, like, what we sound like from the album.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we did have to go in and do some overdubs.
And it was fun. It gave us that freedom. And, like, Josh does a lot of home recording. He has his own little studio, and so things were pretty well set up. We got to play around a lot in ways we, you know, couldn't afford to in the studio.
Mm-hmm. But I guess, yeah, in terms of, because you mentioned inspiration earlier, I would say probably the biggest one would be like Connor has been really into like Ethiopian and like swing. African like swing music or whatever.
Yeah, some Afrobeat.
And it's like, I don't know, like a few of the songs he just kind of came in with this cool like Afrobeat like riff, and it was a lot of just kind of following, building it around that. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of cool to have like this really kind of outsider like inspiration, influence, and then just kind of put your own more Western like notions around it or whatever.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's kind of the big like focal point that I probably pinned down.
Yeah.
To it,
there was an idea presented, but we got really collaborative with a lot of it, and we give each other room to breathe.
Oh yeah.
And so then it comes from all those different directions, and Josh did write and come up with a lot of ideas with record as well. I mean, we all did, but they're kind of, Connor and Josh are the core songwriters, I feel.
Yeah.
That's great. I was going to ask you a little bit about the writing and the producing and the recording process, but you mentioned a couple of times the cover art, so I want to kind of go to that for a second. To me, it looks like some sort of like hippie birthday party in the woods.
You know, I never thought of it like that before, but that's totally...
Yeah, there's this spot in the River Valley by Peter and Josh's houses, and it just kind of dips down into this bike trail that we sort of cut off
for a few hours.
On the west side of Edmonton.
Yeah.
It's like really popular too, so like every 20 minutes we had to like go and lift the banners up so that some cyclists could get through.
Yeah, because set up.
And... Sorry to our Edmonton cyclists.
We appreciate your patience.
But yeah, because we thought it would be cool. We were struggling with artwork for a while, but we thought it would be cool to not have like the text put on it, you know. We're like, well, it'd be cool if it was just part of the picture, you know. So that's we had like that, because the album's called Soft Focus, and we had that Soft Focus banner. And then I thought it was really cool that Josh had the idea to put all the track listing and all the notes and all that just like on a, he had on the sheet of plywood, and then we just took a picture of that. And I thought it gave it a cool kind of like real feeling, you know.
Textile.
Yeah, and there was definitely some like carnival influences, I guess, because there's a few of the songs have this kind of like oompa like carnival thing, and so we kind of played off that a little bit. But for the most part, it was just like getting some cool decorations and setting them up and just kind of having fun with like pictures
and
stuff.
Infinite thanks to Josh for making that reverse side. He designed and like wrote out all of that board, and he was good enough to make it one take without any spelling mistakes that we've seen so far.
And shout out to Max Farron for taking those pictures.
He came out and spent the day with us,
took them on film, and they turned out really well. So
I've read some reviews of the album and things like that, and they're talking about this Doors sound. Connor, that you sound like Jim Morrison. And there's some elements of that, but I don't even know how to ask the question, but how do you feel about having those kinds of references?
I think it's an honor, really.
First off, I don't know if you can see Connor too well, but he looks like Jim Morrison. Like, you can't... At a certain point, we're like, we can't escape this.
You have to,
you know,
a picture.
This is our lives now. But,
I'm
going to
shake my head someday.
But seriously, I mean, we've always... Whenever, you know, I'm talking to somebody who hasn't heard of us before, you know, you always ask, like, what do you guys sound like? The Doors is kind of, they're just kind of my go-to, because I wouldn't say we sound exactly like them,
it's
but...
it's like the easiest access point.
Do you know what psychedelic music is? No?
The Doors?
Yeah, so, it's even, like you said, it's a good access point. Like, if someone is really into them, you can say, well, here's us, we're maybe a little bit different.
Yeah.
But the overlap is enough that your taste can carry over. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good like service to us to give people that access point. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like we make great attempts either way to sound like the Doors or try to distance ourselves from them.
It's just
them.
Like an influence.
I mean, we just kind of...
Nobody wants to be another band.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, and we never set out to copy anyone. We were just kind of doing our thing, and then it just happened to line up
with this guy that looks exactly like Connor.
Yeah,
so.
it's a bit of a coincidence, I guess.
And it's like I think it's kind of humbling, because they're like, you know, a higher band on my list when people have never heard of music from the '60s for whatever reason. I'm like, well, you should probably start here and look for psych music. I'm like, this is a good access point. Like, you've heard Break On Through, but
yeah, I mean, maybe a few years down the line, we might feel like, all right, it'd be good to maybe not get those comparisons anymore, but. At the moment,
it feels nice.
I mean, I'm curious what other things people hear other than Doors.
I can hear kind of a Brooks Nielsen, like, growlers thing going on.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Growlers.
Yeah.
And the klezmer.
And in the music, too, like, there are some overlaps, but I think the worst is when you read a music review and they reference, they're like, they sound like this band, and it's some band that you've never heard of.
Yeah.
And it's like, this doesn't tell me anything. So at least with the Doors, if you've never heard the Doors, you've been living in a cave under a rock.
Yeah.
I can hear elements of that, but I wouldn't say that you guys sound like the Doors.
Well, there's moments for sure.
It's funny, because I've heard comparisons that, like, someone said that the beginning of one of our songs sounded like Whiskey Bar. And I totally didn't get it until I read that, and I was like, oh, okay, no, yeah, that makes sense. But it just goes to show, like, I wasn't aiming for this a similar kind of drum thing at all. It was just, like, what fit Connor's guitar part, and then it just kind of stumbled on to being sort of similar to it.
Well, I think all of these comparisons are useful to a certain point, but you guys clearly have your own aesthetic, and it's really fantastic. I really liked your debut album, too.
I mean, it's been a while since we've even... I mean, it's not like we totally moved on from that album, but we're definitely...
We don't play the songs very
often. Yeah, we're in a different musical space now from it. And it's not like it's not a part of us anymore, you know? It's just we've kind of evolved to a point that we're just kind of... We've developed more of a style that's a little bit different from
We pull out the tracks once in a while, but honestly sometimes feels like covering another band. Like, it's exciting. It's, like, very distant.
Yeah. It's still a ton of, like, those songs were a ton of fun to write and record, though.
I think that you really have developed your sound a lot and a sound that is unique to you despite these comparisons.
Thanks.
Well, yeah,
I was going to say, I think it's Sweet Cocoon that has like this loungy thing going on at the beginning. And I was like, oh, okay. What?
Very loungy.
What's going on here? So, I mean, you guys are all over the place, but it works.
Baby, sleeping so cold, so compressed to me. My affection wraps you comfortably, so let me eat something more than passing heat. I'll take from every last and move you'll make. Baby, la da 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 da. In our sweet cocoon of love, there's girls with their long golden red shade, dipped in summer rain, tease and toss my curves recall a certain draw I am in when you come home. Girl, is that me?
Thanks. I think even like Soft Focus feels a step away from the garager stuff, because that, yeah, you know, we went into that trying to make a high fidelity record, right? There's like definitely, I'll say, rougher elements to it, but I feel pretty comfortable with not qualifying it as garage as much, like compared, yeah, to the first album especially, which sounds very like everything's covered with texture and everything's covered with filters and,
yeah, and even like I don't want to speak ill of garage bands, but I think this one, Soft Focus, is like the songs are a little bit more thought out than, or like planned than, I guess traditionally you'd say like a garage
it's
band
just
is
less
and
jammy, I guess.
Yeah, and there's like, it took us a while to write this album just because, yeah, we put, I think, a lot of thought just into parts and how we flow from parts and, you know, how the energy is kind of distributed through a song. It's, I mean, there'll be a few times where one of us, all right, well, let's just write like a really fast, like, mm-hmm, short song. And it never ends up being like that, because, yeah, we'll jam on it for like an hour and add this part and add, yeah, this, yeah, part. And so
build
it's...
Build it up and break it down a couple times.
Yeah, so we do, it's like a lot of compositional stuff we end up just kind of unintentionally settling into. And then for half the songs we write, we kind of end up saying, all right, well, we got to cut this out. Or like, we, yeah, can't jam on this for this long. We can't, yeah, really have like a 15-minute long song. And even on Soft Focus, I think half the songs are over 5 minutes or something,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, but it's a lot. It's comfortable. We like purposely tried to cut some of them.
Yeah, so what, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is what you're hearing is the end product of like a lot of thought and like planning, you know, just what you experience when you're listening to it.
More psychedelic than garage, I would say.
Oh. Yeah, that's a pretty fair statement, I'd say.
You guys also picked some songs from an eclectic mix of artists that have influenced you and things that you're digging. And I would love for you to introduce these songs and tell us a little bit why you picked them.
Yeah. I had Maori Blues by Dave Brubeck Quartet, and that's just like, I don't know, I started looking into, like, time changes and just, like, the switch in that song is so just fluid and, like, the whole thing is kind of rocking, but it still lulls you, and I don't know. Dave Brubeck is incredible. Like, I have Time Out and Time Further Out, and, yeah, he just does weird stuff with time signatures and really nice melodies that I don't know, tried to translate to, like, I don't know, guitar playing, guitar writing, but I'm still practicing the take five melody, like, trying to get that tight, but Dave Brubeck rocks.
Looking back now, I wish I had put in a song from this band from Brooklyn called That Handsome Devil.
Oh, yeah.
Because
totally.
They
covered the Jungle Book sound.
Yeah, I heard of them a while ago, and, like, I've been telling everybody about this band for the last, like, 5 years, because I really...
Okay, we're adding it in.
...know about them.
Okay,
so, yeah.
Sweet.
Well, okay, play this Goldfish Brain by That Handsome Devil if you want to throw that in. Because they just play the coolest, like, weirdest music, but it's so good. But the one that I had initially added was Revolution by Dr. John. That whole album, I think it's called Revolution, is just fantastic because he gets this... Like, all of the songs have these huge, like, big band presences. And I just love the kind of, like, southern, like, voodoo aspect that he, like, that he has on his music. There was a while when I really got into him, I was really into just, like, the weirdest kind of stuff I could find. Like, I was really into Tom Waits and That Handsome Devil and stuff at the time. And then I remember I was reading, like, Rolling Stone, and they had a thing about Dr. John, and he was wearing, like, this weird, like, voodoo suit with a top hat and, like, a necklace with, like, 40 teeth on it and stuff. And I was like, I should probably listen to this. And it's just it's a super great album. Like, the drums in it are fantastic, and the saxophone is so badass on some of the songs. And it's, like, it's just so cool. You know, like, you just, yeah, like, you listen
cool
to it.
Strutting.
Yeah, like, yeah, you listen, yeah, to it, you're like, great. You're like, I don't even feel, like, cool enough to be listening to it. It's like, yeah, it's like a Tarantino movie or something. You're like, I wish I was as cool as this guy,
yeah,
you know?
I wish I had this vibe.
Yeah.
I think Dr. John was the influence, you know, the band from The Muppet Show?
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's Something and the Electric Mayhem.
Uh-huh, is it like Dr. Tooth or something?
Yeah, yeah, Dr. Something and the Electric Mayhem. Something like that. It's been a while since I've seen them up.
Yeah, I think he was the influence for that group.
Oh, yeah, for sure,
if
yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, yeah,
that's cool.
That Muppet always scared me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And the one with the eyes that were like just tubes.
Tubes.
Beaker?
Tubes.
Beaker for out. It's okay. Because Peter, he just never talked, and he was always getting hurt. So, I was so sad for him. It freaked me out.
Empathize for this.
Yeah. It's like, I'm a dweeb, too.
Sorry for interrupting the flow. Please
continue. That's just like what the Muppets do.
Yeah. Sure, why not? Yeah.
What did you pick?
Gossip by Cyril Neville. All the brothers really are my fave, but specifically, like, for the longest time, I was searching for this specific sound that I remember hearing from, like, I guess, like, a branch between Westerns and, like, 80s cop films. I'd moved to Medicine Hat for a year, and I listened to a lot of James Brown, like, this isn't quite scratching the itch, and then I found this compilation that was, I can't remember the record that did it out, but it was a collection of, like, 27 artists of New Orleans funk. And they have, like, there's three volumes. They're, like, amazing, amazing. But on the second, I think it was Gossip. And I listen to that song, like, every day in the morning. Get up, start dancing, feel great. And I'd, like, finally found it of, like, just this awesome, like, guitar swamp rock funk that's just meant to dance to. And it was great. And it was, like, it's been with me since. But specifically that song, like, I take a lot of value in just, like, dynamic range, and that song just gives it so hard in the beginning, and then it just eases into that groove, and it just plays back and forth, and the horns melodies are, like, some of my favorite melodies of, oh, man, I'm gonna start singing it if I can. I just, like, I'm so attached to this
song.
You're
very excited about it.
This is, oh, yeah, oh, my gosh. Anytime I can show anybody this song specifically, I'll admit, like, Cyril's brothers did some cooler stuff with, like, other bands, but that song specifically, And, like, a very close shout-out to the Meters as well, because they almost got chosen for me. But, yeah, this song is amazing.
Awesome. Thank you. So there's two more songs that you chose.
Yeah. Josh chose a song by Strawberry Alarm Clock, Curse of...
The Witches.
Witches? Yeah. I don't... like, I've listened to a bit of Strawberry Alarm Clock, thanks to Josh, and they're wicked. That's, like, that garagey kind of, you know, psyche, a bit of, like... I guess they got a bit of jangle to them or something, but they're cool. Yeah, Strawberry Clock. And Seven Chances by Chewy Wan. And yeah, Chewy Wan is really cool. That's like newer. Oh man, I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, it's sort of in that underground garagey kind of scene or whatever. Our friend Mustafa, he plays in this. If you're into like soundscape, ambient, like really cool, take you to
abstract psych stuff,
outer space, to the center of the earth. Like, they're so. He showed me Chewy Wan and
the band's Pyramid Indigo.
Yeah, Pyramid Indigo.
Mustafa's band.
Yeah, at least he talked about them a lot. Before I heard them. And yeah, they're just like weird, kind of creepy. It's kind of a creepy song, but it also has like this nice. I don't know how to describe it, like, sort of beachy, sort of, like, jangle to it. I don't know. Like, it reminds me, part of it reminds me of, like, the Growlers, but it's in a completely different, like, setting.
Yeah, totally different realm. I'd never heard of them until I listened to the song, and I was like, wow, this is really cool. So thank you for introducing it to me.
Yeah, glad you like it.
Awesome. Thank you.
brain like a goldfish. Same old shit but full switch. You can tell me your name, but I'll never know it. The people I look up to, they quit and gave up. Well, I don't give a shit cause they suck. Brag about money and the bitches they fuck.
Take your free love and your tree hugs. The things that you need of. Beliefs and dreams you dreamed of. Sometimes I'm with, sometimes I fall behind. Quitting drugs is easy, I do it all the time. Sometimes you're with, sometimes you'll fall behind. Well, quitting stuff is easy, baby, you do it all the time.
Whiskey set me free, policeman let me be. I'm just waiting here for someone I believe. Whiskey set me free, policeman let me be. I'm just waiting here for someone like. Whiskey set me free, policeman let me be. I'm just waiting here for someone I believe. Whiskey set me free, policeman let me be. I'm just waiting here for someone like.
Young and I wanted to.
let's all just pray on it right now.
We'll be right back. Monday.
Talking and this is already going on too long, so I'm going to I'm going to cut right to the chase. How can people find your music and you guys?
Lots of places now. It's on Bandcamp. I think the tracks are on YouTube now too.
Yeah.
iTunes, you can buy it.
Spotify now too.
Yeah, Spotify. We're gonna have some music videos on YouTube coming up
next month or so.
Yeah. And then we just have. You can get in touch with us through Facebook and all that stuff.
I believe you can order CD, like physical copies through our Bandcamp page.
I'll ship them right out to you.
We'll seal them with a kiss.
Excellent. CDs and tapes too, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Tapes through Sweetie Pie.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I don't want to end already. I feel like it's gone by super fast, but we got to cut it off at some point. So you guys are going to have
another episode.
We'll do another show and we'll talk 100% Muppets.
Awesome.
Yeah, thanks for having us and doing a podcast and
stuff.
That's super
cool.
Yeah, broken new ground, first podcast.
This is fun.
Excellent. Thanks again so much, you guys, and we'll have you on again for sure.
Awesome.
Looking forward to it.
Thanks. What a fun interview and a fun bunch of guys. I can't wait until our all Muppet-themed podcast interview. Thanks so much to Andy, Connor, and Dylan for taking time to speak to me, and thanks to them for being so patient while I get the show together. During the interview, we heard some amazing music, including a fantastic kind of loungy psych number, Sweet Cocoon, from the band's Soft Focus release. We also heard a mix of some of the guys' favorites and influences, starting with Dave Brubeck Quartet and Maori Blues, the devilishly fun Goldfish Brain from That Handsome Devil, Revolution from Dr. John, and the highly danceable Gossip by Cyril Neville, Strawberry Alarm Clock's Curse of the Witches, and an amazing new band for me, Chewy Wan, with Seven Chances. Check out the Podomatic page for a full listing of the songs and albums, as well as links to the band's social media and Bandcamp pages. Now to continue with more music from Archaix. We're going to hear a couple more tracks from Soft Focus, including Howl, as well as the psychedelic meandering of Dune Wanderer and the swinging Black Mirror Blues.
We'll be right back.
body from a deep southern day.
As usual, this week's show was so fun to put together, from the interview to the music. To end this episode of the Red Moon Radio podcast, let's hear one more track from the Soft Focus album, the closing track, Nova Swing. Thanks again so much to the guys of Archaics for being with us and sharing their music and musical loves with us. And of course, a huge thanks to you for tuning in. Until next time.
Oh, mama, they've held these seashells against their forehead for so long. Go and tell, listening to a dead sample, it sits like glassware upon a crooked head and acts as a lantern in the day. They don't seem okay. Oh, mama, they're staring right through the looking glass. It seems it's broken for sure. Basket case on the chase for sin. Roll the dice, charming men meet chin to chin. All right. He makes back in tar, but that ain't worth much when you're trying for breath. On the depths of the plumb line prone, magic sits where apathy grows. Oh,
law of the jungle must mangle fine animal. He who holds the law of the jungle must mangle their animal. Must strangle fine animals. He who holds the law of the